But right now we're going to head to Washington, D.C., visit with National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Director of Policy Communication, Ed Frank, with NCBA CEO Colin Woodall.
USMCA, the U.S. Canada-Mexico trade agreement that replaces NAFTA, went into effect on July 1st. Talk a little bit about how we got here.
Well, this goes back to President Trump in the first few days of his administration when he made it very clear that he was going to renegotiate NAFTA at the time, and he followed up on that pretty quickly. So we have spent almost 3 years now trying to work through the entire process of not only the renegotiation with Canada and Mexico, but also trying to get the final package, the USMCA, approved by both the House and the Senate. And once that was done, to get all of the other countries to take action, for us to take final action, and then to see the implementation. And that's what we had here on July 1st, was the final implementation. If you step back and you look at USMCA versus NAFTA and what it means for the cattle business, for us, there's not a whole lot of new access. It's because NAFTA was pretty good for us. But what this does give us is the certainty of being able to maintain our relationships with Canada and Mexico, which are two of the top five markets for the export of our product.
Right. So we'll look forward to the continued access there. It's been good to actually talk about some non-COVID related issues the past few weeks on the podcast with USMCA, the new water rule going into effect, dietary guidelines. But of course, COVID is still out there. We sent a letter up to Capitol Hill this week outlining what we want to see in a fourth coronavirus relief package that is going to start working its way through the Hill, hopefully right after the 4th of July recess. Can you just bring folks up to speed? I mean, we talked, it was all COVID all the time for a couple of months there, and obviously it's still there. So can you give folks an update on where we stand with a lot of the market issues, the supply chain issues that we saw as this pandemic really hit the economy hard?
The good news is that we have returned to about 95% of our packing capacity, and that is a quicker return to that number than I believe any of us anticipated when we were really at the height of the problems in the packing plants at the end of April and into May. So we're excited that we are that far along, knowing that even with the additional investments, PPE, social distancing, we can probably still get back to 100%. It may take a little bit longer, but 95% is a good number because it means we're able to keep that supply chain full. We're ensuring that the meat cases are staying full, and that's important to make sure that we maintain our customer base. But we do have a backlog of cattle. These are finished cattle that are trying to get into a packing plant. It's going to take a few more months yet before we can work our way through that. But until we get that done, we are going to continue to see the downward pressure on prices. And that is something that NCBA has taken very seriously. That's why we have our cattle marketing working group that is looking at every way possible to try to return leverage back to the cattle producers. And that is going to be a big discussion for us at our summer business meeting.
Yeah. Speaking of summer business meeting, that's coming up at the end of the month here in Denver, or just outside of Denver at the Gaylord Rockies, out by the airport. It is moving forward as an in-person meeting. Can you give folks sort of a preview of that, what it's going to look like, number one, and then also some of the big issues that we expect to see there?
We are moving forward with an in-person meeting. We had a long conversation with our officer team to talk about that, and the officers and I felt it was a great opportunity to get everybody together. Now, we are going to be socially distancing ourselves. We will have masks, and we're going to do everything we can to protect each other. But we felt, given all of the issues, especially with cattle markets, we needed to have that face-to-face discussion to make sure that our policy is what it needs to be to continue to work on these issues. So that's why we made that decision. So it's going to be a lot of discussion about our cattle marketing working group. It's going to be updates on things such as where we stand with Waters of the United States, WOTUS, and the challenges to the new Navigable Waters Protection Rule. And it's also going to be a discussion about what's next with coronavirus stimulus packages, because we still expect Congress to come out with some more support, and that means that we could have more payments through CFAP or other programs, and this will be a great opportunity to give everybody where that stands as far as both status and potential outcomes.
All right, Colin, thanks for joining us.
My name is Steve Johnson, and I am NCBA Associate Director of Policy Communications. Joining us right now is NCBA Executive Director of Natural Resources and the Public Lands Council Executive Director, Caitlin Glover. Caitlin, good news coming out of both Washingtons this week on the natural resources front. Can you walk us through the Interior Department's decision to cancel the introduction of grizzly bears into the Cascades region in Washington State?
So this process started in 2015, fits and starts, but through it all, BLC and NCBA focused on supporting our local affiliates. These ranchers, these communities said that they did not want to see grizzly bears reintroduced into the communities. So in the North Cascades, grizzly bears had some history in that area. And over time, for a variety of reasons, those populations moved to other places. And really, those grizzlies weren't found there anymore. So the plan over the last couple years has been to examine what it would look like if Interior were to translocate or relocate some bears up into that area. Now, translocations or relocations are tricky in any sort of scenario, but effectively what Interior would have been doing is dropping these bears in the middle of an ecosystem where they haven't been for a really long time. So that's, there's some problems with the ecology there, but certainly problems with the community. Really, what this announcement comes down to is that the cattlemen, that sheep producers and communities were able to stir up enough opposition, and the science didn't support reintroduction. And so ultimately, Interior made the call that grizzly bears will not be reintroduced in the North Cascades. Some really good news.
What would be the impacts across the range?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and really this gets down to the science, right? So as part of this investigation, Interior had to undertake an environmental analysis. So they conducted an environmental impact statement to consider the ecology, the socioeconomics, what would happen to the visitor and recreational experience, as well as the public safety if they were to reintroduce bears, and all of that fleshed out to say that it didn't make sense to introduce bears. We can see this playing out in other populations. Also in the news this week was the greater Yellowstone ecosystem population of grizzly bears that has been quite controversial and has been often litigated over the last couple years. And that population's in Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. So using them as an example, this is a similar ecosystem in which there are bears and other large predators like wolves that interface in high mountain communities. So if we take the GYE population as an example, Idaho, for example, in 2019, had a record number of investigations and confirmations of large animal, large predator, livestock depredation in a calendar year. Similarly, Montana and Wyoming had significant impacts as well to livestock, to cattle and sheep producers. And you're not just talking at that stage about deaths, right? About animals actually lost. You're talking about livestock stress. You're talking about fences down and really some pretty significant resource limitations simply because of the density of these large predators. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in livestock losses from lost animals and lost yield, but also millions of dollars have been allotted to depredation payments and to some of these control methods. So to have the decision, have the announcement that Interior is not going to cause these problems and is instead stepping away from those reintroduction plans, I can't tell you how happy I was to see that, not only for the ecosystem, but for our ranchers and for our communities as well.
Caitlin Glover, National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Executive Director of the Public Lands Council.